Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life. The experience of having a child is just incredible, an incredible blessing. I remember when we were first waiting the coming of our child, the anticipation, the joy, and then the baby's born. I'm holding this child for the first time, and then we're taking care of this little baby. We're raising this child, and then another baby comes, and then another baby comes. And this whole idea of God blessing a mother and a father with children is really awe-inspiring to think about it, that God creates an eternal soul and then puts it into the hands of a mother, of a father. The responsibility to raise this child well is really important. I remember feeling that, just like, okay, I want to raise this child well. I want to raise them Catholic, do it the Catholic way, and train them in virtue and character and help them grow in the faith, grow in the love of God. And that's all good, but we want to be careful, because sometimes even when we look at parenting from a Catholic spiritual lens, we could put undue pressure on ourselves. And we start falling into a certain kind of perfectionism and feeling like maybe we're failing. And that undue pressure can pass on even to the children in negative ways. We want to be careful in our parenting and not parent from anxiety, but parent from the peace of the Lord and from the love of Christ. And that's what we're going to take a look at in this week's podcast. Welcome to All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree. And today, for this topic, we have a very special guest, my dear wife, Beth. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, everyone. Great to be back.
So this is a topic we've talked about often, the idea of parenting. And we could look back at our own parenting. We still have some little ones at home. We have some that are in college and some that are already married. But we can look back and see different seasons in our own parenting life. And what I was sharing there about that idea of parenting from anxiety, I know that's something I've experienced. I know something you've experienced. What do you see today in terms of moms and dads that are growing up in a different environment than we grew up? We didn't grow up with the internet. Well, no, we had the internet, I guess, when we were first parenting, but we didn't grow up with social media and all those pressures. What do you see out there today?
Well, back in my days, honey. No, I'm kidding. I think in some ways it's easier for parents, like looking at all the baby gadgets that are out there, like it blows my mind. I mean, our youngest is almost 8, and what's available now is just insane compared to what was available when she was an infant. So on that hand, there's some fun, easier things. On the flip side, I think social media has made it harder, in particular for moms, because for me growing up as a mom, quote, growing up, you know, there were few resources. I had friends who were in the same state of life as me. I had friends who were a step or two ahead. I had parents that I could ask when I had questions. I had doctors. Maybe I had a book or two. Maybe I could look online, but there wasn't much there. Whereas now, especially with Instagram and social media, it's in your face all the time. Not just, you know, you need to be doing this and children should be achieving this and this is happening, but comparison, seeing what other people are doing. Because remember, social media is just someone else's highlight reel. And so you're comparing the totality of your life, which we all know we remember and are more impacted by the negative than the positive. So you're more in touch with your negative, comparing it to someone's positive. And of course, you're always going to fall short. And then we're also more in touch with what's going on in the world. You know, the news cycle of there's this earthquake here and this tsunami here and this fire here and this, you know, mass shooting or whatever tragedy, which induces more fear, more anxiety. Or even just, you know, so-and-so's that we know from high school, you know, they had a child die recently. And that's so tragic. And our heart breaks for them. But then it also instills within our mother's heart a little bit more fear of, oh, I need to make sure that that won't happen to my child. So I need to be more vigilant and I need to work hard to prevent that. And there's just more in our mental space that we feel like we have to navigate and avoid and build up. And there's just, it adds to the burden of what's already hard of just caring for and being responsible for these children and these souls. It just feels like the stakes are higher, I think, nowadays, because we see and are aware of more. that's out there.
It strikes me, and I don't read all the mommy literature at all, but it just strikes me as they're compared to where we were. So when we were raising kids 20 plus years ago, there was basically just a few books that were out there, like, you know, good books to read about parenting and, you know, whether it's health issues or discipline and things like that. Whereas now there's like 1,000 different voices on social media, each saying you have to do this and don't do this. And if you do this, then your child's going to be amazing and get to Harvard and be a great Catholic and become a saint. And if you do this, your child's going to have all these negative repercussions in their life. Is that true? Is that's just my outsider's perspective, that this seems like there's so many voices on social media today that it could lead to, I just picture a young mom being paralyzed. Which advice do I listen to?
Well, yeah. And then that doesn't even include, you know, lifestyle choices. You know, if the mom was working, if she's working outside the home or inside the home, all that stuff. Like there's definitely so much more polarization and less acceptance and understanding of people who are in a different place or have made different decisions. I think that's from just an insecurity of I want to make sure I'm good. And if I'm good, then I can't dialogue with you who has a different thing because that could threaten my sense of well-being. But yeah, just our whole world is more black and white. It's this or that, either or. There's no both and as much.
So just to kind of linger on that last point, the polarization that you just alluded to there. So that it's not just about fighting of ideas, that you think it's maybe something even deeper in people's hearts, their identity is bound up in it.
We can become so enmeshed in our own belief about who we are and what we stand for, and this is the best way, and everyone who doesn't do it this way, it just is not, like, doesn't have a place for me to interact. I can think of several funny ways I've seen this portrayed on social media, but in general, there's just such a desire to protect what you have that you can't see the other side of things. And if you think about where our Lord is at, I mean, the whole verse, you would know, scripture scholar husband is very handy to have. But the verse in St. Paul where he says we're many parts, but we're all one body. Like, to compare, if I'm a, you know, a hand, and to be upset that I'm not an ear is just silly. Everybody has their own way of doing things, their own path, their own struggles, and we can learn from each other. We can respect one another. We can build one another up, or we can get upset with ourselves that I'm not this good or the same as this one, or we can tear them down for not being the same. But I feel like if we are really seeking the Lord in our parenting, then we're only going to become more of what He wants us to be. And then what other people around us are doing or aren't doing is very much a secondary piece, instead of looking to them to be affirmed in our decisions and who we are becoming and how we are leading our family.
So this whole idea of Catholic parenting, though, is the responsibility to lead the children spiritually, to form them well. We don't want to fail. We want to get this right. You know, it feels like the stakes are so high. But sometimes we can get into a certain kind of idealism, that we can idealize what our Catholic parenting is going to be all about.
Yeah, I think of a soundbite that's out there that, you know, we need to love our children into heaven and love your spouse to heaven. And there's a beautiful truth to that, that our love, our sacrifices can be a stepping stone into eternity. 100%. We want our children baptized. We want them to receive First Communion. We want them to be praying, confirmation. We want them to be making good decisions, right? We want to set them up for a life of truth here on earth and then for one in eternity. Amen. But I think where the pressure comes in is when we feel like it's all up to us. And it's my choices and my responsibility to ensure your salvation. There's this thing out there, maybe you've heard of it. It's called free will. Everybody has free will. And our children have free will. This is very evident in the toddler and teenage years. Our children have free will. And we can set them up for success, but in the end, it's up to them to choose it. I've even heard, I think it's Mike and Alicia Hernan, whom I just look up to and really respect, that say, you know, it's not us, our job to get our children to heaven. It's actually they're the ones who make us into saints, like just flipping that around, that it's that their needs, their desires, the way that they challenge us to grow is what leads us to greater sanctity if we allow it to and if we stay in it.
Yeah, I think it reminds me of an analogy I've heard used is that parenting is kind of like farming. You know, the farmer could do all he needs to do good work on, you know, cultivating the soil, planting the seed, watching out for weeds, watering the seed. And, you know, we have to do all that. But in the end, there could be a storm. There could be a pestilence. There could be a drought. There could be a fire in the field. There's so many things that can happen that are beyond the farmer's control. So there's things that we need to do and do well. And of course, and we'll, maybe we'll do another podcast on some of those items. But we want to talk about like that anxiety that comes into parenting where we want to just control and manage everything so that we guarantee that the kids are all going to just turn out great. And that idealism can lead to a perfectionism that could lead to great disillusionment and discouragement. Share with me, honey, you were sharing just the other night about different stages. I don't know if it was a podcast you were listening to or a book you're reading, but like different stages in parenting from when they're little children all the way up through the teen and adult years.
So I realized, I think I got this from Dr. Andrew Sodergren, who gave a presentation at an online group I'm in. But he was talking about how there's basically four stages within parenting. And from, I think it's 0 to 7 years, it's the caregiving stage where we as parents are giving, 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 and, you know, ensuring our children's survival and that they stay alive. You know, it is super intense physically, especially in those early years. And then the next stage is 7 to 12, roughly. And this is more caretaking. You know, they have a little bit more autonomy. They are growing in responsibilities. We're still there caring for them, but it's less intense. And then after that, teenage years, be compared to coaching. You're more coaching your kids in the teenage years. You're there for them. You're guiding them. You're challenging them to greater discipline. You're cheering them on. But like they're really starting to own things. With this stage, I think of like our boys playing soccer. They've had some awesome games lately. They've also had some really rough games. And the coaches are like, you know what? I can only do so much from the sidelines. It's your game. You are the players on the field. You are the ones who have to own this for better or worse. And then the final stage is consultant. When they're an adult, you are more of a consultant. And what does a consultant do? They're there. They're available. They give advice. They offer wisdom. They might call out, hey, this kind of concerned about this. But in the end, they are just there as an advisory, in an advisory capacity. And, you know, we're just on the cusp of adult children. We have one. We have college kids. And that's really what it is. I mean, the fact that they want to talk to us, that they want to be around us, that they want to hear what we think, I look at that as a win. And I do love having them around. So just as long as we are available, that we're their biggest cheerleaders, that we are not seeking to tear them down, but we are also there to catch them when they fall in appropriate ways. Yeah, so there is like a method to it. But I think if you were caretaking, in that caretaking mode for your adult children, there's something off there because it's not supposed to be that way in the natural order of their growth. And that can actually cause maladaptive behaviors that could cause them to grow to be less than their full potential.
Yeah, I think when the kids are younger, like we can kind of, you know, have this great Catholic home. We've got all this prayer time. We go to daily mass and, you know, maybe we're living the liturgical year, doing, you know, nice activities, you know, around Advent and Lent together. And we could feel like a mini Catholic monastery. And by the way, those are beautiful things. And we've done that in our parenting. But you can live under kind of an illusion that, you know, okay, yeah, this is all, yeah, we just keep doing this and, you know, keep this nice little Catholic community. And, you know, we can kind of manage this and the kids are always going to just be so Catholic. What happens when the kids start getting older and they start entering those preteen and teenagers?
Well, I don't want to have like a whole blanket of this is what will happen in your family. Like I said before, I'm not an expert. I do know when kids get into those preteen and teenage years, they really want to differentiate. They really want to kind of figure things out. They want to grow into more of their own person. And this is just part of their natural, normal human development. We want them to do this so that they can be, you know, responsible, highly functioning adults. But it's hard. It's so hard when, especially you as the parent, are so used to expecting your child to behave this way, and they do, and paving the way for the family to be, you know, this particular way, and all of a sudden it gets thrown off. And I think what one thing that I personally try and do with my teenagers is, more than getting them to behave correctly, as much as that is desired, it's more about connection. Do I connect well with them? Do I understand them? Do I delight in them? Do they know that I am cheering them on, that I want their good? Or is that seen as something burdensome? Is it something that is oppressive? Like, is it another pressure? Or are they feeling shame from what I'm trying to encourage them to do? Because I realize more and more that connection is king. And if I'm connecting with them, then we're speaking truth to one another. Then we're really growing together. But if I'm just pressuring them, you need to say the rosary, you need to make sure you do this, you know, and I've done that, and it usually doesn't go well. But whenever I can give them space to choose, that's where things can really start to click together.
It reminds me of going back to that soccer analogy that you were describing earlier. I know some of our kids have had coaches that are, you know, during when the game's not going well, or maybe they're not even playing well, they'll call the kid out on it, but they do it in an encouraging way. They're giving pointers, they're giving advice, but they're not like trying to like just critique every little point. And we've seen other coaches that do that, that when things are going well in the game, they're just critiquing every little thing. And then the players themselves feel more pressure. It's as if the coach is trying to like run onto the field and control and every move of the game. And that doesn't go well in parenting, does it?
No. In fact, I read something recently and I thought this was so interesting, where it was like a psychologist who's also a mom talking about her kids and how she would want to make a suggestion or tell them to do something, but the way she did it was to discount her own advice. So it would be like, hey, you probably want to get started on that project that's due on Thursday. Oh, you know what? You know what you're doing. You probably already thought that one through. So yeah, you know, she'll say it, but then like back away from it, which again, teens need that space to kind of do their own thing. So if we can offer it to them, but then give them the space, you know, and I've done this personally with like, hey, I don't want to be overbearing and I respect you. I support you. I'm seeing this. Help me understand it. So that invites a dialogue if they want to. But I also want to say, like, if you don't want to talk about it now, that's totally fine. We can talk about this later. I love you. I support you. I'm here for you. But I don't want to be overburdening, or, you know, I just want to be here for you. Again, age appropriate. Developmentally appropriate times. You can't do that with like your six-year-old. Your six-year-old still needs you to tie their shoes, you know? But it can be helpful. I don't know. We should have our kids on sometime and ask them if it really is helpful. Who knows?
Well, I think you are particularly good at this. I just see all those fun late night conversations with the teenagers, how much they will open up, you know, when there is something going on. But I think that it used the word earlier about connection. The connection is more important than perfection. I think connection is more important than perfection. And I think sometimes when there's, and I'll just speak from my own tendency, sometimes there could be a certain perfectionism in my own life, that then when I see something not going perfectly well with, whether it's the, you know, the 6-year-old, or whether it's, you know, a 12-year-old, or whether it's a 15-year-old, that I don't feel comfortable with what's happening because there's something I'm not comfortable with inside of me. And I think that's the danger, is when we have this kind of, we feel the weight of Catholic parenting, we got to do it right. And I want it to be perfect. And when things aren't perfect, because they're human beings with free will and we're all fallen and it's going to be very messy in family life, that when there's those mistakes or when things aren't going as well as I like, or I fear that things won't be perfect in the future, that they won't make the right decision, they won't do the right thing, or they won't find the right friend group. When I have that fear, it kind of just can come out, and then it ends up causing more problems for the child.
Yeah. And that's the whole crux of everything within parenting. I mean, when the kids are experiencing something that maybe we've experienced that we have maybe repressed or not thought about, it tends to come up to the surface. And so whatever you do not accept in yourself as a parent, you can't accept and go there with your own children. And this is where just for us as parents to realize, like, we need to have a lot of curiosity about our reactions and our story. Like, why was that such a big deal for me? Like, what am I dealing with that I came down on my son so hard? Or why is my daughter's friend struggles at school making me so stressed out and worried and anxious? Like, what is that about? Oh, because I remember a time when I was in middle school like this, and I've not thought about this in years, but that was really hard. And that could be a place to return to with someone you trust, therapist, spiritual director, or just to take to prayer and be like, Jesus, I remember this. That was really hard. Like, where were you in this? And help me to see your provision to meet you here so that I can meet my child as they're going through it. So curiosity, but also compassion. Like, we parents have so many things on our shoulders that if we can just be compassionate with ourselves instead of like, oh, I screwed up again. Dang it. Why do I keep doing that? Like, beating ourselves up, instead just be like, yeah, there it is again. I'm human. I can bounce back in this way. We're going to be okay. Or it means this. And instead of like giving ourselves 50 lashes when something goes wrong, just being, okay, yep, I am still a beloved child of God. I have a family who loves me and I love them and I will, and it's going to be okay in the end. If we can do that with ourselves, then when our kids have their own mistakes, we can offer it to them. But if we don't know how to offer it to ourselves, we sure don't know how to offer it to our children.
So I think this is so important, and this is what we really wanted to hone in on here, was this idea of like, what's happening inside of me deeply affects my children. So it's going to affect my parenting. Even if I, you know, have the right words and believe the right doctrines and teach the right virtues and I have the right tone of voice, if there's something underlying in my soul, an underlying anxiety, a kind of inner agitation, a lack of peace, a fear of failure, a fear of getting it wrong, a certain perfectionism, like that, that impacts the souls of our of the people around us, and especially our children, that our children will pick up on that fear, that anxiety. They'll grow up with these struggles as well. And so I think what I hear you saying, honey, is one of the most important things for parenting is not just, did you use the right technique and the right method? And those are great things. And again, maybe we'll do a podcast on some of that stuff later. But it's most important, what's happening on the inside?
Yes, sadly. There's no recipe to have perfect Catholic children. There's no magic bullet. There's no way other than just seeing what you're bringing to the table. I mean, that's what kids are. I've said this before. They're little button pushers. They just push your buttons. And so it's on us to know our buttons, to know when we respond this way, oh, it's related to my abandonment wound. Or we respond that way, oh, here's my anger popping up again because I feel this is so unjust and it reminds me of this experience way back in the day, you know? So if we can understand our own buttons when they get pushed, they don't send us spinning with the same intensity. Because we know about them, because we've worked with them, because we've been in those places in our own story, in our own hearts, when our kids or whomever, our coworkers, send us spinning into those same places, we have some bearings. We know our way around. And we also know how to bring the intensity down with compassion, with curiosity, and just meeting our Lord there.
So what advice do you have for our listeners out there that want to be good parents, that want to grow? In closing, what closing advice would you have for them?
I mean, I would say first, the idea that you want to be a good parent is a huge win. Like, let's just stop right there. The desire is good. And because you desire it, because you're willing to make sacrifices to be a good parent, to bring your children up in the faith, is massively huge. And I have to believe that our Lord is smiling on that desire. The second thing is just when things happen, which they will, because that's the order and design of things, is just to take time. You know, there's nothing wrong with when you're in the heat of the moment with your husband, with your children, to say, I just need a minute here. You know, I need to step outside and breathe deeply and count to 10. Like, you can't offer someone solace and help them to come down from intense feelings if you yourself are experiencing intense feelings. Like, that's no good for anybody. So we can always call a timeout. We can always take a step back within reason. And the second thing is just when you experience things that come up, like, really bring those in to prayer. Vulnerability is really key when it comes to prayer. I think sometimes we think of prayer as just, I need to say these prayers that are in my prayer book and do the rosary and read my scripture. And those are all good things. But if we just talk to Jesus about these things that are really stirring in our hearts, if we're really honest with him, we give him something to work with. And he loves that. It's hard. It's bewildering. We don't know the way around that sometimes, but that's where it all starts. And then, of course, bringing them to people we trust if it's something that we really can't figure out on our own, which happens too.
All right. Well, honey, thank you for being on the All Things Catholic podcast. Great to have you.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, my friends. If you want to reach out to Beth, how do they find you?
My Instagram handle is at Mrs. Beth Sree.
At Mrs. Beth Sree on Instagram. You can find Beth there. You can find me on my website, edwardsree.com. And you can always find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks for listening. And God bless.